What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. People have been texting boxing, just boxing. And at
they have.
At GPander78 on Twitter said, for us to pass this along, when you do that, I guess you get a return text saying thank you for entering.
Powered
by 102.5 The Game. So that way you know you are locked into the contest. So there you go.
If you don't get that, that means you did it wrong.
Remember, thank you for entering. This is a return text powered by 102.5 The Game.
Easy peasy.
That's all you have to do.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Tonight, Predators in Calgary to take on the Flames. This will be game two of this four-game road trip. They'll be in Edmonton on Saturday night. And then they'll be in Vancouver Monday night to close things out. So 8 o'clock puck drop tonight. I'll have pregame for you starting at 7. It can be heard, all that can be heard right here on 102.5 The Game. Let's bring in former Vanderbilt legend. How about that for a title? Don't we all want to be called a legend?
He definitely is a legend.
He was really, really good. If you didn't see his playing days at Vanderbilt, I'm sorry. Go back and look. He was really good. Jordan Matthews is on the line with us. Jordan, how you doing?
What's up, guys? How we doing?
Been a while since we've talked. You been up to anything? Were you busy last weekend? You know, a lot of people forgot that, you know, you're with the 49ers. You were kind of down to Miami and everything.
Man, I didn't forget, man. We was running around everywhere, bro. It was a crazy week. I was fortunate to have my family there to enjoy it. My son was there and my wife, too. She had a couple games in the CONCACAF tournament down in Texas, too, so she had, like, a game versus Mexico, Canada, flew in for the game, and then had to fly right back, and then had a game versus St. Kitts 2 days ago. Now she's back in Alabama with my son, so I fly back to Nashville today, and I'll meet up with the crew, man. So it's been a busy time. This is kind of our norm. So to some people it seems hectic, but to us it's like this is kind of what we're used to, but we're blessed, man.
Jordan, I don't want to hear your son having a bad day when he gets older because, you know, that gene pool of you and your wife, I mean, he better be really good at sports, man. He's got a lot of advantages already.
Yeah, if he's not, I'm like, that's your fault. I saw your mom and I thought of you, you know, and so if you can't, you know what I'm saying, run at least a 4.4, dad had nothing to do with that, brother.
No doubt about it. So I do want to, because we've brought you on for a variety of things, but I think we need to start with what took place a couple of days ago and just get your thoughts, because we've had a lot of people come on. In fact, we had another Jordan come on that day and Jordan Rogers. And, you know, we've had a lot of former players kind of lend their thoughts and viewpoints of Vanderbilt Athletics and the story that came out and Malcolm Turner resigning, fired, whatever you want to call it, out. Candace Story Lee in. We live here, but you're tied to the university. You talk to a lot of people. Just kind of give us your thoughts on everything.
Yeah, man. You know, I love my university. That's for sure, man. Only it was my only scholarship offer, and so I think just that alone, I didn't spend too much time comparing and contrasting Vanderbilt with other schools, other places. Like my whole college and high school experience was about just learning about the school and appreciating it for what it was. Now, as far as what took place, a couple of days ago, obviously, you know, when Malcolm came in, it brought a lot of excitement. I think anytime you bring new blood into an organization, there is that level of excitement. Sometimes you can say in the NFL, change is sometimes just as good as winning. Because, you know, when you're winning, the building feels good. And then when there's change, a lot of times people feel really good. Like, okay, you know, they'll get really excited basically about, you know, what's going on or whatever. And so when the news came that Malcolm was no longer going to be with us, you know, obviously I know a lot of people. That was a disappointment because you look at it, it's like, dang, like, is this, do we have hope? Like, if somebody can't come in and, you know, essentially get this thing going with that type of excitement around, if there was reason for him or her to leave like that soon, I think it would, I think naturally for some people it would warrant a little bit of pessimism. But, you know, I think there's a lot of factors, man, that we always have to think about. You know, obviously the loss of David Williams is huge. That's huge in a community, okay? So, you know, a man of that stature coming in after somebody like that too and not even having that type of covering, I mean, I can't imagine how much David would have just helped Malcolm along in those first couple weeks, months, you know, this year, you know, that person to kind of speak to and confide in. But David wasn't there, so you kind of lose that covering. And then just obviously a new space, a new place, you know, and with the stuff that Vanderbilt presents as far as its obstacles, it's going to be a lot harder than pretty much every other school in the country. And so I think a lot of those factors might have played a part. I don't know for sure, but I know obviously David being there definitely would have helped. Yeah. Now, that's the bad downside. Okay. The good side is I'm really excited about Candace, though. I can go on about that. I want to hear some more of you guys' questions. But
well, no, that's what we want to hear because, Jordan, everybody has the same message. And I'm not going to – I watched her play. I haven't been around her much. I hope that all changes now. We hope to have her on the show in studio, get to know her a lot more. But everybody has the same things. Everybody glows about her. So my interest is piqued. I want to know why everybody kind of has the same message. You were an athlete there. She was an athlete there. I know your paths across. I know you know her well. So tell us more. Tell us your perspective.
Yeah, oh no. It's just the thing about Candace, and you got to just respect it, is she's gone through the rankings. You know, she, you know, from playing here, undergrad, getting your master's here, getting your PhD here, working at compliance, moving up, and then now to sit at the AD seat. You know, you talk about not having to worry about somebody micromanaging because they're going to know, okay, if I'm putting somebody in this position here, I know exactly the job that this person has to get done. I really don't have to sit over them and watch them over their shoulder to know if that job's getting done because I've done it before. I can kind of tell if that person is fit for the position. Lots of times we get in these situations where we hire someone to a business and you give them this high position because of, you know, God knows what, whether it be nepotism, whether it be just their name. And then they have no idea what the person three levels down is doing because they've never had to go up through the rankings. You know, that's why the best college – I mean, my coach here, Kyle Shanahan, think about this now. Kyle's dad was Mike Shanahan, legendary coach. Kyle still had to go be a grad assistant. You know, he wanted to go through the rankings and learn. I think that's what makes Kyle such a great coach now because he knows what it's like to be an assistant. He knows what it's like to just be a receivers coach. So he knows the people that need to be in those positions, and he knows the type of job they need to get done. And he's not going to be freaking out because it's not like he hasn't somewhat seen it. I think that's one thing that Candace brings to the table that's really good. The Sorry. Other thing is alumni support, and that's a huge thing. I truly believe that the alumni is going to be behind her, and she's been around long enough, too, to know the alumni that she should really, you know, you can't just take advice from everybody. Let's just be honest, you know? And I don't say that to slight anyone. I think some of the guys you mentioned, obviously I love my boy J-Raj. That's a good person to have on the show. His opinions, I think, make a ton of sense. But I think Candace, because she's been around, she's going to know the right people and say, okay, I can take this with a grain of salt, or, hey, I really need to take what this person is saying into consideration because they know, you know, kind of what Vanderbilt needs.
Talking to Jordan Matthews, former Vandy wide receiver now, with the 49ers, and based off of what you just said, I look at the steps that this university can take. Because I grew up here, Jordan. I went to games all the time. The first football game I ever saw was a Vanderbilt football game. So I know that stadium well, and I am a fan, and I want to see them take the next steps. And hearing you talk about Candace and what she can do and being a part of the university, that makes me feel really good about it. But it's the people around her that I worry about, of getting more involvement there, of having them get on the same page. How do you think she'll be able to do that?
You know, I think the first step one is going to be taking a hard look at that. You know, and like I said, I still mostly saw it at the athlete level. You know, I would say this year when they started getting into figuring out the strategic plan to push the athletic program forward, I got to maybe sit in a couple more meetings or have talks on that level with people who are in athletic directing or football ops. So I started to see a different side of college football. So I'm not going to speak as if I know all the ins and outs of what needs to happen. But I do believe that Candace is going to be able to have the hard conversations with people, and she's going to be able to start to, like, figure out, okay, like, who should be in these seats, who needs to maybe switch up their role, or where are some areas that we need to pivot to kind of get this thing going. Obviously, people talk about the main two revenue-building sports as far as football and basketball. I'm a huge supporter of Coach Mason. I love Mason. I love what he stands for. You know, I think those two areas obviously are going to be the big ones of conversation. And trust me, those are going to be where she's going to be the most scrutinized, because she doesn't have that covering that maybe a new guy like Malcolm would have. Like, oh, he's new. So it's like Candace has been here. She's been around, you know, the football program with Coach Mason at the helm. She, you know, and so she's going to get a lot of that scrutiny, but I do believe she's going to handle it well, man. You watch how Candace moves. She's like the Vanderbilt Michelle Obama. Like, like she's as professional as they come, and I think that people have a high level of respect for her, you know. And so I think people are going to want to get their job done. I think even the fact that, well, we got that win versus LSU last night, I don't think that's by any coincidence. I already think some of that energy and some of that spirit is going to pick up around Vanderbilt because – of the type of person that we have at the helm now with Candace there too. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be willing to help any way possible. I actually am getting my master's in sports administration at Northwestern right now, so I can get in these conversations and actually know what the heck I'm talking about and not just be another person tweeting, you know. So, yeah, I'm really excited, though, about where we're headed. I know there's going to be some hard conversations that need to be had, but like I said, the facilities, all those things, I get it. Look, my best friend, Jonathan Krause, he's an assistant receivers coach at Oregon. He tells me about that dang fountain he walks past every single day. I understand the uphill climb that we have to compete when it comes to facilities with other programs. But I'm telling you right now, and it's just the God honest truth, if we don't make sure we have the people in place to continue to push the program forward, win. Like, we got to be, like, when it comes to bringing coaches in, bringing people in these positions that are going to be around the players, helping them, the recruiting, like, not just getting caught up in, okay, this guy's got to offer him this school, so he must be a good player. Let's offer him and give him to Vanderbilt to increase our signing class ranking. No, we got to have the right scouting team in line to make sure, hey, they know what those prospects look like. I don't care if this is a one-star, two-star. He can make it at Vanderbilt. He's going to be a good player. Like, it's all about the people, because once you start winning and you increase the product on the field, I feel like that's when the revenue comes. I feel like that's when a lot of the other stuff starts to take place. The facilities, we definitely need to make changes, and I think they've already started the process of making changes, and I'm excited about that. But I'm always about the people, man, always. If you can put the right people in place, then a lot of that other stuff takes care of itself, and I think Candace is the person to do that.
Real quick, Jordan, I know this has been a journey for you this year, going through camp with San Francisco and then back to Philly and then back to San Francisco. But what was last week like for you to be able to experience that whole run to the Super Bowl, even though I know it didn't go the way you guys had hoped?
Yeah, man, it was cool. I would say it definitely motivated me a ton. You know, I think, the hardest part was when it came down to those final roster cuts. At the end of training camp here at San Fran, when I didn't make the team at that point, that's kind of what pushed you in that little cycle of just like no man's land, because as a six-year vet, I don't know how much preseason film is going to help. I have enough game film so coaches know what I can do, but not making the team, you know, when you're going to that first week, if you are on a roster for the first week of the season, then your contract is guaranteed for the rest of the year. But if you don't get signed, if they wait to sign you until week two, then it's pretty much on a week-to-week basis, basically. And so once I didn't get signed after week one, I was like, okay, week two, I'll get picked up. Once I didn't sign after week two, I was like, all right, I'm telling baby, we might have to sit around for a little bit. We might have to wait. It might be a long year. And so I think just the start, the way the year started kind of put us behind the eight ball. But I'm still extremely optimistic. I'm still a competitor. And if anything, just going down there to the Super Bowl, obviously coming up short, but also not having a chance to play has really motivated me. I've already started talking to my wife about where I'm trying to train this offseason, how I'm trying to get my body and my mind right to have another go at this in year seven. So I'm still highly motivated. I still know I can do it at a high level. So if anything, it was humbling, but at the same time, it was extremely motivating.
With that being said, as we wrap this up, I'm not saying you're retired. I understand, but you also are smart enough to have life after football. You just said you're going to grad school. I know you can do a lot of things when this chapter of your life closes. So what do you want to do? Like I said, I know you still want to play. You just made that abundantly clear. But what is – I mean, because you could do what we do. I mean, communications, broadcasting, for sure you could get into. But what is your love? What do you think is the path you're going to take after football?
Yeah, man. Yeah. No, oh, man, I appreciate the question. You know, number one, man, above all, I love my family mostly. And so the biggest thing is, we were fortunate enough to get some land out in Nashville. I'm not going to say where because I don't want nobody snooping around my property. But we were fortunate enough to get some land out there in Nashville, man. So, you know, we want to live there. And my son right now, he's one. And literally, my son hadn't even turned two yet. He's been to Jamaica. He's been to Paris for the World Cup. He's been California. He's been everywhere, you know. And so once me and my wife are done playing sports, I want to give him the same sense of normalcy that I had as a kid. My dad did not play professional sports. He was not famous. And there was not a day that I didn't think I was the happiest kid in the world. So I don't think that I have to do things or be like that or be famous, have this high level, crazy level of prestige for my son to have a great upbringing. I just want to give him some level of consistency, him and whatever children we decide to have after that. So I would say the first thing I would do is I would definitely want to be based in Nashville. I want to work at the university. I want to help in any way possible when it comes to sports. Do I know a capacity yet? For sure. I do not know. But that's why I'm studying sports administration. I'm taking sports law. I'm taking sports ethics. I'm going to be doing all this stuff online right now and over the next 2 years. So when it is that time to make that jump, I'll know, like, okay, this is the area I love to insert myself in. How can I help guys? How can I be of service to the university? So I would love to work at Vanderbilt, obviously, at first when I'm done playing. I'd want to probably be there until my son ends up graduating at least high school. Are all my kids, because like I said, I don't want to move my kids around. Yeah. I love all my coaches, and I think what they do is amazing. I can't they sacrifice so much. I tell you what, man, the amount of times I've seen so many of my coaches have to move and move their families, that type of strain, I just don't wish that on anybody, and I wouldn't wish that on my wife and myself. So after that, though, I think when my son will go to college, you know, or all of my kids are out of the house, I think at that point, me and mama wouldn't mind having a little bit of an adventurous lifestyle. So I would actually think about potentially becoming an NFL GM, spending time around John Lynch while I've been out here. Just an awesome man. Great man of God. Very, very real with everybody he's around. I love the way he carries himself. Love the way he handles the business. And we've had some hard talks, obviously. I mean, I've been fired by him twice. But trust me, he's a good brother. And every single time that he brought me in, say, hey, Jordan, we got to let you go, we still sat in that office and talked for about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, just about the business of the NFL and what his job is like and, you know, how you get into a position like that. And so I think I'd be interested in that, too, later on. I love scouting talent. I love watching the game. And I took econ. So I think, obviously, working a salary cap would be fun, too. So, you know, it'd be a cool thing. I like how David Shaw, even, you know, the coach at Stanford, obviously he's a coach. He sometimes does some stuff in broadcasting too. So to be able to insert yourself in that any way possible too would be fun. I got Jay Rosh. He's the man. So I could just be like, hey, like, you know, give me a 5-minute segment, bro. I know you got the clout. So it'd be there's a lot of things I'd love to do. But number one, man, I want to create some level of consistency for my family. So I'm looking forward to being in the Nashville area when I retire for a long time.
Let's call John Robinson and put in a good word for him.
That's awesome. By the way, we don't need to help him. Jordan's got it all figured out, as you just heard. By the way, what I said about your son, now even more. I don't want to hear about his bad days. He's already been to Jamaica and Paris. He's won. I don't want to hear about his bad days.
Yeah, okay? If he complains at all, I'm gonna slap him across the head for you, right? It's 2020. I might not be able to say that, but I'm doing it anyway.
Oh, man. Good visit as always. We love catching up with you. You'll do whatever you want to do. We know that. And don't be a stranger to the show. We'd love to have you on again down the road.
Anytime, guys. You got my number. Appreciate you having me.
Thank you, Jordan.
Bye, brother.
Jordan Matthews, he's just fantastic.
Awesome.
And, by the way, I just simply said life after football, and he already had his kids graduating and going to college and life while they're after school and what they're going to be doing. You think the guy is a planner?
Yeah. Let me say this. I hope that to our conversation and what we were saying, people over at Vanderbilt, I hope they heard that interview. That's an example of having your stuff together.
And that's somebody who gets it, understands the culture, understands things, and certainly could not hurt pushing Vanderbilt moving forward with all the things.
You need people like that.
That we've talked about. All right, we'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Arms.
Good stuff from Jordan Matthews. He was really, really good at Vanderbilt. If you didn't see him play, man, he was fantastic, as you can tell.
I loved watching him play.
Well thought out guy. He was always a media darling. Everybody would go to talk to Jordan for sure. Jim Wyatt coming up here soon. We'll get into some off-season deets with Jim Wyatt from TitansOnline.com. Third hour, we'll talk about the Michael Vick 30 for 30 with the producer, Stanley Nelson. We'll also have Barton Simmons on to kind of recap signing day yesterday. And then Elliot Friedman coming up at 1 o'clock after Elliot Friedman. We will give you a chance to win tickets to the next Predators home game, which will be Barry Trotz and company. The New York Islanders will be in town, and we'll have tickets for that. But you'll have to be listening to the Elliot Friedman interview because a question will come from that interview. And you'll have, after we wrap up with him, we'll ask the question. You'll have a chance to win tickets. And then Jerry Stackhouse, before we get out of here today, talk about their big win over LSU last night. They've
packed show.
Finally. Yes, packed for sure. They finally out the snide and got a conference win. A nice win at home versus a ranked team in LSU last night.
Yeah, and I think
they scored 99 points.
They did. And I think what was interesting, too, is I heard Jerry Stackhouse say in his post-game interview that you saw that they were capable of playing games like that. I mean, they competed against other teams. It was Auburn, I think, that they went toe-to-toe with them. You know, they showed signs of being able to do that. It was just putting a complete game together, and they did that last night. They led at half, and then they led when it counted at the end of the game and got it done. So that is the confidence builder that club needs. They're a young team. They have some injuries, but they have a couple of guys that are capable of much more, and you're starting to see that now. You know, Saban Lee was fantastic last night for Vanderbilt. So if they can take that and turn it into something more, I'm not saying you're going to go and win every SEC game now that you've gotten, as Jerry Stackhouse said, the proverbial monkey off their back. Now that you've done that, but you can be competitive and maybe pop off a few more wins and help build the confidence of that team.
Is that a monkey or an elephant?
I think it was an elephant.
Or the bat building.
Yeah. I mean, and look, it's hard for the team, for the guys that have been there that, you know, went 0-26 in the SEC. But I would think it's even harder for him because that's not all on him. He inherited it. But they went 0-8, you know, to start this season in the SEC. So it's like he knows he got the job because it wasn't getting done. They were losing all these SEC games. So now that puts even more pressure on him to try and get it done and to get off the schneid, and they did. They did against a ranked team, a very good LSU team. So, very, very good.
By the way, I know we've brought this up before and we've actually talked about them, but they just continue to win. For all the NBA fans out there, the Grizzlies, what are they, like 13-3 in their last 16 games?
one of the hotter teams in the NBA, and they're finally over 500 for the first time this year, and for the first time in a hot minute.
And they're trading Iguodala to Miami?
Iguodala, and it was announced about 5 or 6
they
minutes
Deion
ago.
Deion Waiters, too.
That Jay Crowder. I didn't see Deion Waiters yet.
Yeah, I think they acquired Deion Waiters.
Oh, wow. That's an interesting one.
I know. That's what I was
he's
like.
He's kind of been in the news for the wrong reasons. This season, but I mean, they got Justice Winslow for what that's worth. If you're able to get anything out of him, that's really nice. But you got rid of Iguodala, who would have cost you about $15 million a year, and they were able to take that money and extend Dylan Brooks, so who's having a really nice year for the Grizzlies as well. They're looking up, and they have the 8th spot in the West by a couple games right now.
How about, I guess Dylan Brooks is now looking forward to the matchup, Grizzlies versus Heat.
Yeah, they still have to play this year. I don't know the date.
You know what I'm talking about, right? I mean, Dylan Brooks came out after Iguodala was doing all these interviews. I think it was on Monday, right?
It escalated quickly.
And
he
that
said Monday,
escalated in a hurry.
He was looking forward to the trade that happened last night.
And Dylan Brooks and Ja Morant were like, yeah, the dude hasn't been around all year, so whatever, man.
It took a life of its own really
it
fast.
It really did. But Miami's really good. So.
And this trade isn't done yet. It keeps changing. I'm seeing Woj tweet out different things as the trade deadline is today. So trying to get this done.
They might have Danilo Gallinari involved. So the Thunder are looking to get involved in that trade as well. So they've agreed on like certain aspects of the trade, but not the entire thing just
Deion
yet.
Deion Waters is a part of it, the latest.
Yeah, I saw him and Jay Crowder was another name I saw. So Memphis might be sending Jay Crowder to Miami as well.
Mm. Big moves in the NBA.
Interesting. All right. We'll come back with Jim Wyatt from TitansOnline.com. Talk a little bit about their offseason. Right now, I want to talk to all the men out there. I want to talk to you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. And they know a lot of you men have started to seek help for hormone deficiencies and imbalances. And Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, who is the board-certified physician over there, and his wife, Daphne Lodge, who is the registered nurse, along with their very experienced staff. They want to give you men out there the treatments that are required to improve your quality of life. And who doesn't want that? I know I do. And their services have already helped a lot of you here in the Middle Tennessee area and surrounding areas with improving your immune systems, your energy levels, your cognitive function, and so much more. They're there to connect you with the medical care you require to have a healthy and enriched life. There's no better time to achieve that healthy lifestyle than right now. What are you waiting for? Pick up the phone, make that appointment like I have by dialing 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always check out their website, coolspringsmd.com. Here on this Thursday morning, rainy day. Hope everybody, a lot of standing water last night. You're all right today. I didn't really see much this morning, but last night it was bad. That's not why we brought him on. Jim Wyatt, TitansOnline.com is where you can find his work. It is officially the off season, and Jim, it's an off season that I've got to be honest. I think I am really intrigued. Not that the NFL is ever boring in the offseason, but with all the moves the Titans have to make and tough decisions they have to make, and the biggest names maybe we've ever seen at the quarterback position moving around, changing possible landing spots, I think it's going to be really intriguing once free agency kicks into gear after the combine then in Indianapolis.
Yeah, and so much work to be done that you wonder if maybe you have to have some developments even before then. Yeah, I know the franchise tag and that the start of that period starts before the combine actually starts. That's not a deadline. That's the first day you can do it. And I think that's just when I think you continue some negotiations with players, throughout that period and all the way up until free agency starts in the middle of March. I think what's interesting this year is a lot of times when you head into free agency, you start looking around at who's out there across the league and who would be good to add. And the reality is, the players you want to add this year are on your own team. I mean, guys that played for you last year, whether it's Ryan Tannehill or Derrick Henry or Logan Ryan or Jack Conklin, and certainly a long list that keeps going from there. Obviously, you're going to want to try to bolster some positions, whether it's in free agency early, whether it's in a second tier free agency, whether it's in the draft, but a lot of your own guys are the ones that other people are going to be coming after as well if you don't get them done.
I see, in my mind, in my estimation, I see no chance John Robinson has to keep all the top four we would all identify, okay, in Tannehill, Henry, Conklin, and Ryan. I think everybody knows those are the four top priorities. I see no scenario where they could keep all four, and maybe it may be they keep half. I don't know. I mean, he's going to have to figure that out and make the tough decisions. How do you – I just want to ask you philosophically if you were a general manager, and we're talking about football, but really in any sport, general managers have to deal with this of having to make the tough decisions. And what do you think is the right way to go about things? I think it's good to keep what you know, but sometimes, Jim, in sports, it's always good to kind of keep fresh bodies and a new mentality in a room, too, to a certain degree, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but you got to pick your spots in yep. doing that as well, because if you know, I've been around long enough to know that, you take a flyer on a guy in free agency, and not just here, but across the league, and you really don't know what you get until you get him in the building. And sometimes it disrupts the chemistry. Sometimes if you pay a guy a lot of money at another position and other guys are wondering, well, why am I not getting this deal? Then you create issues there. I think that's why a lot of teams who have been successful have done so, not by just going out and being the teams that spend the most money, but just identifying the right players and keeping your own guys together. So I think that's the way to do it. And if you continue to have good drafts like, the Titans have had in recent years, I mean, this last year's draft class, Jeffrey Simmons, A.J. Brown, Nate Davis, Monty Hooker, DeAndre Walker, David Long, I mean, all those guys made impacts in 2019, except for Walker, who was on IR, and certainly people still feel like he's going to help them moving forward. You pair that with, guys like Evans and Landry and Cruikshank from the previous year's draft class, and you look at draft classes before that, and you see Corey Davis and Adoree Jackson and Jonnu Smith and Jayon Brown, those type players on their mouth. I think that's the way you build your team, is by having good drafts and then supplement that in free agency. But I personally think most important thing is just to kind of keep your own guys together, because you know what they're like, and you know what you're getting in them, and it's a little bit of a roll of the dice when you go outside the building.
What do you think, if you were to do, because you've been covering them for so long, if you were to rank the top three free agents we've seen in this market since they've been here, how would you, and I know I'm putting you on the spot, but top three free agents they've brought in and they got the production you're looking for, because you know how it goes. I mean, most of the time, I would say there's more failures in free agency than huge success stories. Wouldn't you agree? So if you were to rank the top three, how would you go about that?
Well, easiest one for me, I mean, I think Delanie Walker is probably the best one, probably the best free agent that's ever
signed
here.
Yeah,
just because he's been so productive, and just kind of, was a guy that also helped change the culture here. I think he has to be number one. I'm going to leave some guys off. So I'm trying to thumb through my release here to figure out maybe who some other guys that have been signed. But I think he's one.
Would Vandenbosch be on your list?
Yeah, I mean, I think Vandenbosch, obviously, I'm going way back there.
So you're going all time and not just this team.
Since they've been here.
Yeah, I think Vandenbosch, another one of those guys. Nate Washington had a pretty good run. I was thinking of him off the top of my head.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Wesley Woodyard probably doesn't get enough credit,
I think that's a good one. I mean, because not only he's been productive, but you talk about guys that changing the culture, and with him, I have to respect the way he kind of handled himself this season, where, he's been one of the main guys on the defense, and this year obviously had to take a little bit of a back seat, playing behind, Jayon Brown and playing behind Rashad Evans, and he didn't complain and didn't cause a rift. I mean, I definitely would have to say him. Ben Jones, I look at a guy like that who was signed and has been a consistent starter for them, and you know, 2016 free agent. I have to give him a lot of credit there. I have to probably bring out my old book. I'm looking at how the current Titans were built, and that's why some of these more recent guys are coming to mind. But I do. I mean, I think Delaney's one, and then it's everybody else from there. But Van Boss obviously deserves to be in there, and I think Wesley Woodger's a good one. I think. Yeah, I think Ben Jones a good one. More recent years,
I think two that don't fit this category, but because Kenny Vaccaro was on the street, so he didn't really get. He's not really in the category of a free agent signing, but just to pick a guy off the street, and then you know how you acquired Tannehill and the impact that he had, and that was a trade. That's a, yet again a different category, but I mean those two. Gosh, I mean I don't think anybody.
Brett Kern looks pretty good.
Kern's
a good one. Yeah, he was claimed off waivers. I put him a little bit of a different category. But I think back, you know, just off the top of my head now, I mean, that one free agent class when they signed Kevin Mawai, they signed David Thornton, and they signed Chris Hope. I mean, I think all those guys are really solid players for them. The only guy that group, I think David Givens was that year as well, and he unfortunately got hurt and never really panned out. But those obviously some good ones as well.
That was Floyd. Was that Floyd's last free agent class?
I think that was 2006, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So that was a good group. Chris Hope, got a lot of respect for him and just the way he kind of handled things in the locker room and been a good guy in the community all the way through. I mean, that was a good class.
So you don't have Yancey Thigpen on there?
Carl Pickens.
Don't have
or Carl
there.
Pickens.
Don't have Carl Pickens no. on there. certainly... You know, that's the problem is you run the risk when you go out and spend big-time money. It's not just here. I mean, it's across the league. I mean, teams, you know, look what the Redskins, I'll never forget the night, in the middle of the night when the Redskins signed Albert Haynesworth to the $100 million deal, and that didn't play out so well. And a lot of guys have left here that got big money and went somewhere else, and it didn't necessarily play out that way. I think that's the key, and we'll see – what happens with some of these current free agents. But, you know, a lot of times guys are chasing the money and you don't realize how good you have it until you go somewhere else. So I think hopefully in the case of some of these guys here who demand big money and on the market, you know, if they get into free agency and the money's close here compared to other places, you would hope that guys would think that, hey, there's something good going here coming off an AFC championship game. The culture's good. You're living in the best city in the country in Nashville, Tennessee. And I would hope that would factor into some decisions that might be made here in the coming weeks and months.
What would the contract status of guys like, you know, Khalif Raymond that was on the practice squad and then came up towards the end of the year, Derek Roberson, Kari Blasingame that was signed later on, guys like that that really found a good spot with this team and made an impact as the season went on, are those some guys that they have to worry about re-signing, or are they going to be good?
Yeah, they're good. I know when they, you know, when they signed Blasingame, they kind of assume his contract, so he's going to be around here for a while. And, you know, I think Raymond falls in the same category. I mean, I'm looking at, you know, the list of unrestricted free agents, you know, and I won't touch on them all, but you've got obviously Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry and Logan Ryan and Jack Conklin, Marcus Mariota, Wesley Woodard, who we talked about, Darren Bates, a really solid special teams guy, Dennis Kelly, who has been very valuable to this team, Kamala Correa, who played well, Austin Johnson is another one, Michael Pruitt, LaShawn Sims, Ty Smith, Reggie Gilbert, Cam Batson, Anthony Firkser. I mean, all those guys. And the last ones I mentioned, Batson and Firkser and Gilbert, all exclusive rights, free agents. Ty Smith, restricted. The unrestricted ones are the ones you worry about. Tajay Sharp's on that list as well.
Yeah, yeah, and he's someone that I wonder what's going to happen with him. You brought up Wesley Woodyard earlier. I know on Locker Cleanout Day he said he wanted to play again, that he wasn't done yet. He still wanted to give it a go. You talked about his reduced role with this team. If I'm being honest, if I'm looking at the roster, I don't see a spot for him, but could you maybe see some talks taking place simply because of the depth and also of what he brings to the locker room?
Yeah, I mean, I think with that, I mean, I think you just got to, you know, what is his expectation as far as how much he's going to play, and if somebody else is going to give him more of an opportunity would get here, what's maybe the team's expectation of what a contract would look like, and again, you know, how much he would be used. I mean, I can't see Jaylen Brown or Rashawn Evans not being, you know, starters next year. And the way David Long, you know, kind of developed and played so well last year, I would think he's next in the pecking order at this point. And we've still got a whole offseason to go with the draft and, you know, and potential to look at other guys. I think there's a lot of things you have to consider, but I think it probably starts with, you know, with him and whether or not he thinks he's got an opportunity to play more snaps than he played last year. And again, this is a player who, you know, feels like he can still play at a high level and wants to be more than a guy used in situational packages on the defense, and so much hinges on whether or not there's something out there that would meet his expectation a little bit more than it would here.
Jim, I know you don't have a crystal ball and can, you know, can't see the future, but you brought up Marcus Mariota. I think it's safe to say that his time here is probably over and he's going to move on. When you look at his skill set, you look at his career and maybe the steps he needs to take to get back to a starter role, is there a team that stands out to you that you think would be a good fit for him?
You know, I've seen different teams, you know, I've seen speculation about different teams who might be interested in him. You know, it's hard for me to speak to whether those rumors or that speculation is true, just because I don't know the inner workings of those teams like I do, the team I work for. So it would just be adding to what else has been thrown out there. I mean, I think, you know, a couple months ago, I would have speculated that maybe Chicago would be a good fit for him, but they've had some changes on the staff that the connections aren't there. I've heard, the Chargers is a possibility. I mean, I've seen some other ones out there. I just don't know. I mean, my question is again, what opportunities are going to be out there for him? Are teams looking to sign him as a guy that's going to compete as a starter, or somebody looking to sign him to be a backup? I mean, I think he's got a lot to prove. I mean, I think I continue to get, you know, emails and questions on social media, just why not come back to Tennessee? And why didn't that work out? And the reality is, I mean, Marcus wants to play. I mean, he's not looking to, hey, let me sign and be a backup quarterback. I mean, he wants to play somewhere, but I just don't know what opportunities are going to be there. I mean, I watched him last year. I saw a guy that looked like he lost his confidence. I saw a guy whose accuracy wasn't as good. I saw a guy who looked a little, you know, gun-shy when he worked, and I think he's got a lot to prove to teams, and who's willing to take a chance on him and who's willing to give an opportunity. I think I'm curious myself to see how that plays out for him. I have to love and respect him, and he's such a great teammate and such a good guy. I mean, I hope things work out well for him, but, you know, just don't know how it's going to unfold.
Jim, appreciate the visit as always. It's going to be, like I said, it's going to be an interesting offseason. Can't wait.
Yep, should be interesting. Never really stops. That's the way the NFL works now. It just goes from an especially with this season ending later. That really, you're gearing up now for free agency to start and get some guys signed, and the combine starts here in a couple of weeks. And so we'll be rolling. We're already rolling toward 2020.
No doubt about it. Thanks for doing this.
Appreciate you. Have a good one.
All right, you too, Jim Wyatt. TitansOnline.com is where you can find his work. Back to wrap up the second hour next. That doesn't get you going on a Thursday. I don't know what will. Let's be honest. If you're not going by lunchtime, you're probably not going to get going anyway.
Yeah.
Did you see who's coming to Nissan Stadium?
I did. You just read my mind because I was about to say that.
It's not Metallica.
It's not Metallica. It's going to be the bloody Rolling Stones.
Yep.
Close.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I saw them at Nissan Stadium a few years ago.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen them.
They're really good. I saw them twice that summer. I saw them in Nissan Stadium and then went up to Indy. They played Indy Motor Speedway and saw them play there. It was really cool.
That's the offshoot track to the Brickyard, correct?
No, that is the Brickyard. Indy Motor Speedway.
Oh. What's the one they...
That's IRP.
Like the trucks play or IRP. The trucks race?
Yeah, they used to. They don't anymore. That's the short track, Indianapolis Raceway Park.
They don't race there anymore?
No. They weren't. The trucks make... I don't think they do. But the Xfinity Series is now
at the big
track. They
were doing Xfinity and trucks. They were doing at the short track.
The Xfinity Series is now at the big track. They're actually going to race the road course because Indy Motor Speedway has a road course in the middle of it. So.
And a golf course.
And a golf course. So...
So, yeah, the Stones are coming May 20th.
Yeah, it's going to be good. I want to go see them again because they're really good. So I recommend it. You know, for guys in their 70s, you wouldn't know it. Keith Richards has looked dead for years, but he just he still got it.
I'd like to see him. Maybe I will. I was looking at Jamie Eisenberg. It was Jamie Eisenberg, but it's all the experts at CBS Sports. They're already breaking down the top categories for fantasy guys for next mm-hmm. year. And I just was out of curiosity. I wanted to see the running backs. So they've got, like I said, all their guys. Eisenberg, Dave, Richard, Heath Cummings, Ben Gretsch, Adam Azer. So kind of like all their fantasy football analysts and experts.
Yeah.
Just wanted to see, you know where I'm going with this?
Like, you know, where the ranking of...
Yeah, like, where do they have Derrick Henry? So they only did top tens.
Okay. I'll say that...
So they all have McCaffrey.
So Christian McCaffrey number one.
They all have him one.
I would say number two, Zeke.
No, they all have Barkley number two.
Barkley, okay.
Except for Dave Richard, who has Zeke two.
Okay, so Zeke 3.
He's got Barkley 3, and then they all have Zeke 3.
Okay. 4.
Actually, they don't all have Zeke 3. My bad.
I'm going to guess because
six,
you're bringing...
I see a 5, a 3.
Interesting.
A 3, and a 2.
Okay. Well, you're bringing this up for a reason, so I'm going to say that there's going to be somebody that has Derrick Henry around 3 or 4.
Since we have to move along, Jamie Eisenberg has Derrick Henry 10.
Really?
Leonard Fournette, Joe Mixon ahead of him.
What is he watching?
Dave Richard, Derrick Henry 7. Okay. And Joe Mixon, Leonard Fournette, Nick Chubb below Derrick Henry. Heath Cummings has Derrick Henry 9. Austin Eckler 7.
What?
Leonard Fournette 10. Ben Gretsch has Derrick Henry 10. Miles Sanders 9. Joe Mixon 7. Doesn't have Leonard Fournette even in there. Adam Azer has Derrick Henry 10 with Leonard Fournette, Josh Jacobs, and Miles Sanders, the three above him. I've got to be honest.
I don't know about that.
That's a little insulting.
You can tell that they're just not paying attention, apparently.
Well, it's their job to pay attention. That's what they do.
That's a problem.
But how in the world do you have those guys above Derek? I mean, seriously. Come on. A little insulting. All right, we'll start the third hour with Stanley Nelson. He is the producer for the Michael Vick 30 for 30 on ESPN. We'll do that next on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.